This is Carol Leatherman, Fearington StoryCorps volunteer. Today's date is 12/7/2023, and we are here at Fearington Village in Pittsboro, North Carolina, with Alan Ziegler. Alan is a resident of Fearington who is profoundly curious, very observant, and thoughtful. Today, he's going to relate to us his take on change throughout his life, including today's date.
Yes, today used to be a date of great significance. December 7th is Pearl Harbor Day, and it actually played a role in shaping my life, I suppose, because 82 years ago, when I was just 1 year old, I uttered my first word. In fact, my first words. I hadn't said even Mama Dada up for the first year to my mother's despair, but then I looked at her and I said, I'm told, because I don't remember this exactly, "What is war?" That was when my first word was a sentence. Here we are in 2023, and we don't have a sense of imminent demise from dangers from abroad. Maybe we're concerned a little bit about the role of China and its future threat, but it's different. It was different then. The world was at war, and it had an effect on everything. It had an effect on how I was named. I was going to be named after my grandfather, Adolf Ziegler. But by 1941, he had died, and my parents thought, maybe it's a bad idea to name a kid Adolf. I was four, but I was following the war, and that was the source of it. Plus, probably I heard news on the radio, because my mother always had the radio on. But think about the change in entertainment. We went to the movies. Starting, I'm sure, when I was 2 to 3, we had an older kid, maybe 8 years old, who would accompany us, and it was just a block or two. I lived in a small city called Perth Amboy in New Jersey, which is just across the bottom of Staten Island, in a rural borough of New York City. With respect to growing up, in a way, we played out on the streets. Maybe the traffic wasn't as high because, as I said, the war dominated everything. There was gasoline rationing. People didn't use their cars that much. Well, I could say we had buses and we had trains, not too far away. The bus was at the corner and the train was about 2 blocks away, which in those days seemed a bit of a distance to me. But at 4 years old, the difference between now and then is, if I were going to run away and get married, which I tried to do when I was four, I had the train to go to. Of course, I didn't know the idea that the stubs of tickets that were littering the floor were not good for a ticket to get onto the train, but that was a minor impediment, I thought. With my 3-year-old girlfriend, we decided to go to New York because that's where people get married. My parents had gotten married in New York. I don't know whether a 4-year-old nowadays who decides he wants to run off, I don't know if they even think about running off their girlfriends at this point, you know, there's no train around. There's none of that type of mass transit where you could even conceive of going somewhere, it seems to me, in many places. So that's a bit of a difference as well. When I was 6, we moved to a place called Woodbridge, which at that time was just a very small, very working class township. Within the space of 10 to 15 years, the population of the town had doubled and then doubled again. I was just a few years before the baby boom began, in that sense. I was end of the depression child, you might say. I grew up thinking that way, that you make do, you don't ask for all these things, you don't just buy things, you have to be careful in your money and so forth. That's clearly a family value transmitted for people just coming out of the depression. Nowadays, you just spend the money. In fact, now that I'm in my 80s, I spend the money because I figure how much longer do I have for it. But I didn't do that until I hit 80. I'm going to deal with the issue of how things change in terms of how you get material goods, how you shop. The first episodic memory that I had, I was about 8 to 9 months. It was summertime. I can still remember my mother was in summer dress. This man had a white shirt. So I knew it was hot out. So I have to date it that way. And so I could say it was 8 to 9 months old. Well, what I remember was that there was a delivery man. And I recognized him, because there are at least 2 different delivery men that look kind of the same, but they were a little different, and I could tell the difference. And they stopped, and they were looking at me and chatting, and so I remember smiling, because that's what you do. I had no words. we had deliveries of goods. Later on, nobody had anything delivered. You had to go to the store to get anything you wanted. Mm-hmm. You didn't get deliveries of bread or eggs or anything of that nature. No, you went out and bought it. And that continued for many years until recently. Now I shop through Amazon.com and the next day things are delivered to me. So that is an interesting kind of circle from an old-fashioned way of doing things to a new-fashioned take on the same way. Communications, however, back then were fairly primitive compared to what we have today. It's hard to believe how connected we are compared to how isolated we were back then. When the fax machine came in, suddenly, and I was a lawyer to some degree at this point, so I'm jumping ahead at this point, but suddenly we no longer had those 3 days that the mail took to bring something. The client could get back to us the same day, and it put a lot more pressure on us to get our work done. But even before that, we had television. It became a bit of a window on the world. Not much of one. It was mostly for entertainment. But it wasn't until the Vietnam War that you began to see things we never saw in the Korean War, we never saw in World War II. Rather, we were seeing things as they were. And you know, war was no longer so glorious. War was pretty horrible. The Vietnamese War, however, was a little bit different, and I knew it was coming. It's one of the reasons I went into the Army early, because I had the sense that at some point these advisors in Southeast Asia were going to get us into something much more so, and I didn't want to be in a position where I had to kill somebody I didn't know. So I got that over with before active war broke out. The Army was interesting as a leveling experience. We don't have that nowadays. We don't have this sense of mixing with people of all backgrounds, all social status, all races and so forth. You don't have that sense that we're all together, you know, as one. It's kind of disappointing. Let me backtrack a little bit and talk about social relations. Starting when I was 4, I remember the day before school, I had my first probably mature, reflective thought. It was the day before school, day before kindergarten, I was still 4, and I remember thinking, my life is going to change. They're going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to like that. I'm going to hate school. So I was always challenging either the teachers or myself to do things differently. And in those days, comparatively, what we were supposed to do was learn facts and recite them back. I was very good at facts, so by the time I was in college, I was prepared for the tryouts of the College Quiz Bowl. And indeed, I went on a television program called the College Bowl. We retired undefeated. I was considered the mainstay of the team after a while. And Alan Ludden, in fact, introduced me to Betty White. When he introduced me to her, she was very much younger back then, and he was the host of the show, but he said, he's the youngest and the fastest we've had. And then I went on a local radio show, and I was undefeated champion for a year. I realized that education was what I really enjoyed. And so when I was able to ditch law when I retired, I found my niche. I create and teach adult education courses now. And I've been doing that for the past 20 some odd years. I've lived 83 years, remembering about 82 and a half of them, 82 and three, two-thirds of them maybe. And the thing that still strikes me is a sense of change and continuing change, because I've always been a futurist. I think it's the legacy of my father's elder sister who played anagrams with me. She's the one who started with the beginning of the automobile, airplanes, atomic, the men on the moon, and every time she would look at me and say, isn't it marvelous? And she was in her 80s by that point. So I think I have the same sense that she did. I look forward to the future. I compare it to the past because I was a history major. But nevertheless, it's the future that counts for more than the present.